Assalamu alaikum. This is your beloved brother Murad Muhammad, live on your Block Talk Radio, coming to you at 7:00 p.m. It gives me great privilege, and surely I'm highly honored to be able to do this show, brothers and sisters. Tonight is about a young man that I would like to speak about, Kobe Bryant, that everybody is talking about. And we would like to start off by doing a dua for you. We all know on this radio, Block Talk Radio, New Africa Excellent Enterprise, when I speak, I've taught you, you just take your palm in your hand, put it close to your face, and that's when you're begging Allah. We say, oh Allah, which is God, the God. Or if you said, oh God, same thing. Oh Allah, separate his faults from his goodness as thou separate the east from the west and grant him paradise. Surely Allah Almighty speaks the truth. And this young man was an outstanding athlete. But more important, I'm not a basketball fanatic, but I do know a lot of basketball players that I have great love for. And he was one of them. Why? There was no scandal in his life. Now, I know there's a young lady that wrote an article, and everybody's up in arms because she wrote that article and talked about his lifestyle that he slipped. We all slipped. I'm quite sure that lady that wrote that article, she slipped coming up in life. But because she's not Kobe Bryant, no one cares about talking about her. She became famous the day everybody know her. And I'm not here to abuse no female, so go look it up, and you will find her name. But she made a big mistake. It's time for everything. You can lose your life not being on time. You try to run across that light, and it said red. You're not on time. You just got hit by a truck. You're a dead person. Timing is everything. You can be a gymnast. And you can jump from one bar to another, but if you ain't on time, if you're not on time, you can be spineless for the rest of your life. You can be brain damaged for the rest of your life. Timing is everything. We can shoot our life germ into our wives 1,000 times over and over. But if you don't catch her on time, you can't produce anything. It goes to waste. It will just die in her. And when she have a menstrual, she'll just bring it all out. Timing is everything. If you're trying to get to the bank, you get your $100,000 or get your $20,000, how about $20 that you need to go get some food? Timing. Bank closed, you can't get it. Now we have AT&T. OTM, that's what they call ATM. And you can go places to stick your credit card, but a lot of people don't want to do that because there are so many gadgets out there that they can take your card and you thought you went and got $100. You found out you spent $1,000. How did that happen? Because you can't go to any ATM. You try to stay in your bank system. But it's timing. If you go into a funeral, and surely the deceased, where are they going? To the grave. But if you get there late, you missed that. You wasn't on time. Timing, brothers and sisters, is a necessity. It's not a luxury. Being on time or being in the wrong place at the wrong time, you can lose your life. And so this young lady wrote the article when everybody's grieving, not just in the country. Around the country, they are grieving. Because a 41-year-old young man with all these medals and all these championship rings, it's unbelievable what he has done in such a young age. Just think about it. You ever heard the phrase, 40 acres and a mule? But no one really tells you what that means. You take it physically, as if 40 million African Americans are going to get a mule. I don't think there's that many around. So each one is going to get a mule. But more important, you're going to get 40 acres. That's a lot of acres. I know men that got 4 acres, didn't do nothing in 30 years on it. So what are you going to do with 40 acres? And you're not going to do anything. There's people that lose their acres because why? They're in the way. They're not cultivating it and allow it to grow to another level. So they got a law. You're in the way, they take it. Why? You ain't doing anything with it. So what is 40 acres in the middle? You cannot run for president of the United States of America unless you're at least 40. 40 is so important that in Al-Islam, and on Block Talk Radio, New Africa Excellent Enterprise, where I speak, I tried to use it commonly. Al-Islam. You will never find Islam in the Quran. But our brothers come over here and they can't say the, they can't get their tongue to say the, so they say Islam. Now, there's nothing wrong with that's what you say, because I'll say it sometimes, just not to be so conceited. But I'm not conceited. I am convinced that I know what I'm talking about. And so in Al-Islam, we respect the deceased, regardless who it is. We respect the deceased. During the war time, and we had wars with the Christians and with the Jews. And one day the prophet stood up because it was a funeral. And Abu Bakr pulled his clothing and said, "That's a Jew." And he turned to Abu Bakr and said, "The flesh don't sin." Wow. The flesh don't sin is God's will. Oh, he'll be judged. But we can't judge him or her. The flesh does not sin. So yes, he stood up. Because that was God's earth going back into the earth from which it comes from. And that flesh did not sin. It's that individual that sinned. But not the flesh that God created for you. So she didn't think about the timing was wrong to write about what he did wrong. It's a saying that's given to me ever since I was a youngster that you shouldn't talk ill of the dead. Now, he is a celebrity. So she felt she would come known to put out something most people intelligently would not have done. So she lost her job. It wasn't the right thing to say. But she didn't care. She didn't care because what do that black man means to her? So she came up with the idea that they assumed he raped the girl. Now, I'm not Allah. I don't know if he did or he didn't, but he said he didn't. And then she took the payoff. Now, you rape my daughter. I'm doing 40 years to life. You can't give me no payoff. And most men is that way. You better not get caught. Whether it's your wife, your daughter, it could be your next door neighbor. She's a human being. So we protect the female. But however, today, there's so many men on high levels of raping women. You got them in the courtroom today. I like to do a research on her and see that she write about him. Who's in court right now? They in there. Damn near a tree in there. What they writing about? I don't see it. It's in court right now. There's no publicity on it. Why? Because he's a Caucasian. Now, Kobe didn't do that. Kobe didn't rape all these women. These things happen, brother. When you go and have sex with a female, and she ain't pregnant, she got to get you with something. Now, as much as you want to say that the men abusing the female, no, you can turn this around. Just go do your statistics. Because a female will send you to jail on a lie. Because the law is on her side. You put yourself in a precarious position. You see a crazy woman, you better get out of there. because it could be me. It could be the greatest man in America. But all female have to say, you raped her. It's a lie. I tell that to the judge. I got to lock you up. And the judge normally is a woman, so she don't put a hell of a burden on you. Why? Because she's a woman. And so today there's men in prison on false charges because some female said, I did this, I did this, I did that. So you crime is up. But if you go look at the crime, you will find more innocent men in jail because a woman said what she did. Now, I've heard the argument. I heard the argument that if a woman said you rape her, let's understand what rape is because most men don't know. She lured you in. She kissed you, she hugged you, she played with you. She did everything she could do. She got naked and prayed around for you, tipped you. She did everything. And y'all kissing, y'all feeling on each other, and you get ready to put it in. And she says, no. You can't tell that judge that she tipped you. You can't tell that judge. If she say no, it's no. And if you force yourself because you say, oh, hell no, you ain't doing this to me, it's rape. So let's assume that you didn't rape her. She allowed you to. But because your semen is there, she can say rape. Now you have to prove it. Now you're guilty and you got to be proved innocent. So men of his stature don't want that kind of reputation. So he paid her. I'm quite sure he paid her very well, because they all get paid if you got money. If not, you're going to go through hell. And who wants that name in the papers that a woman claimed you raped her and you didn't even touch her? Now, I've been in situations, but I thank Allah that I got a high moral. But if I said you're trying to trick me, I'm out. And where the hell you going? I'm not being around that. You ain't tricking me. You ain't conning me. I tried my best and never put myself in that precarious position. Not because of me, not because of my desire. I got people that depends on me. And if I go to jail for some trumped-up charges, what happened to the people that get these healthy checks? $20,000, $30,000, $100,000, $1 million. They got to find someone else, and most of them cannot. So I got to be very careful. How careful was you, Mara? I got married. Well, you know, you in a foreign country, your wife ain't there. You in a situation, she won't know. Well, guess what? I walked around with my weakness. Yeah, up in the room. I don't care if it's Venezuela or Mexico. It could be China. She's going to be up in the room. So you can't approach me because you can't cheat. Now, I'm using these phrases because I couldn't say it like that. I thought it was always me. I really and truly thought that I was so strong. And I came to mind to understand. I came to mind, brothers and sisters, to understand that I, Murad Muhammad, one of the greatest promoters of all time. Now they call me E-Man, they call me Doctor, because I study all of Revelation. I'm Islamic, if you want to put it that way. I'm a Muslim in Islam. And so I teach it simple so you can comprehend it. But keep in mind, brothers and sisters, keep in mind that as strong as I thought I was, I figured out you cannot cheat on your wife. So I'm saying to you from the bottom of my heart, it was my wife that went everywhere, and you can't cheat on your wife. So when you went out, she went out. When you came home, she came home. When you come in that president's suite, she's in that president's suite. When you on that plane, she's with you. When you're in those limousines, she's with you. There it is. There it is. Is your wife, is your friend. Can't nobody come through the back door? Now, there's moral. I mean, it's not just the wife, because you can do whatever you want. Same way with the female. She can do whatever you want. I'm telling you right now, brothers and sisters. I'm telling you, my brother, you can't protect what she's going to do. She's going to do whatever in the world she wants to do, and you won't know it. But you get one that fear God. So it ain't us that stop them from doing the despicable things. They fear God. So when you get a God-fearing woman, you got a good wife. Because she tried to make it a gender. And especially at her early age, she's pure, she's clean. That's why I taught my daughter. Why would you want someone to run through you? And then, of course, I go into details, and she always hollers, "Nah, Daddy, don't talk like that." I'm going to give it to you straight. So you'll never say, "Well, I didn't understand." I go right straight down the pipe. Because you have to protect your daughters. You protect your diamonds, you put insurance on. You protect your minks, you put insurance on. You protect your house, you put insurance on. You protect your cars, you put insurance on. But you don't put no insurance on that real diamond. That's that girl. That's your daughter. That's your mother. That's your wife. Yes, we must protect the female. So you have to be careful, because there's a game out here. There's a trick out here. Go marry him. You may not like him, but have a baby for him. Now he got to pay you for the rest of your life. So don't wait till the baby gets old. Sue him now. All depends how much money you're making, brother. I remember sitting down, a brother was getting rid of his wife, and the lawyer said, "How much you make? I need to know exactly, because I'm going to tell you what they're going to tell you." "Well, I make $300,000. Yeah, all right, you got to give her X amount of dollars, $90,000 a year. "What? Hey, that's the law. The only way you can cut that, if you can prove she made just as much money, but you got to divorce her first. As long as she's part of you, you got to pay." And then you got some men that will quit their jobs. "I ain't paying her." But they forgot that woman will take care of those children. So when you don't give them a car, they're walking in the snow and the rain with all the babies. Because you selfish, and you will quit your job because you're not giving her no more money. But you got children there. So you got to maintain her so she can maintain the children. But there's big cons out there, and the black man is getting it worse, because they go with the female that works in the gift shop, and that's the one that gets you. She want to be set for life, so she'll give you a baby. She'll give you two, but you paying. Now it's flipping. You got men marrying rich women, and she's so fired up, she didn't protect herself. She didn't get no premarital agreement, so what she did is sign off. Now you have to pay that man $1 million a year. That's the new thing in Hollywood. If you make a great deal of money, he's going to get paid. You say, "Well, he never made that kind of money yet," but you put him on that level. So she shouldn't have wrote that. Why didn't she save it for next month? Now you got females around the country that don't even know this young man. You know what they say? "Who the hell is he? Get over it. He's dead." I'm talking about countries who never heard of him. Isn't that something? It's amazing, brothers and sisters. The only time we come popular when we're dead. They don't want to give you no one that's alive. They wait till he's dead. And then all of a sudden, they make money off the name. That brings me to a point. They said they killed Jesus. And they made him a household name. But the Holy Quran said he killed him not. So they've been killing us all the time. Because why? They make money off us. Especially if you got a name. Now, if you ain't got a name, who cares? 5 people, 10 people, 20 people come to your film. You haven't done nothing in life. But this young man, you can only find one flaw on him. Outside of that, he never did anything that he shouldn't have done. Now, I don't know about his personal life, I'm talking about when you're a superstar, and this boy is a superstar. They call him a legend. He's a Laker number 24. Yes, two NBA legends. How about being in the Olympic gold medal? How many times did he get that? Four-time NBA All-Star, five-time game MVP, five-time, 18-time All-Star NBA, 81 points in 2006 in a matchup. And this man did tremendous things at 40. So what is this 40? What is this 40 that they give us? Even Spike Lee got a company called 40 Acres and a Mule. But what is the 40, brothers and sisters? It's called 40 aches. You go through aches and pain. This boy won 40 when they put that thing on him that he raped the girl. Those are the aches. Those are the trials and errors when you get going trying to get to 40. But if you didn't learn by the time you become 40, they say you become stubborn as a mule. Can't I tell you nothing because you didn't learn nothing. But he did. He was teaching basketball to the youth, the young girls. He didn't care whether you black, white, he was teaching them. He had a daughter that passed away with him. And someone said to Kobe, he said, listen, let me say this to you, Kobe. He said, why don't you have a boy? Because if you have a boy, you can teach him how to be a great basketball player. And his daughter intervened. Oh, no. I got this. Meaning she's going to be that great female just like him. Which would have given a lot of publicity because very difficult to do. And there are some great basketball players out there and female. But the point is, that look what he did at 41. So he went through his trial and error. Everybody goes through their trial and error, but when you become a full man, it's at the age of 40. 40 acres going through trial and error, leaping all bounds. But when you turn 40, you're complete. Now, for all your Islamic brothers out there, that's sports. But Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessed be upon him, lived a lifetime. That's what it says in the Quran, in that Rabir. Lifetime. Prophet Muhammad lived a lifetime for how many years? 40 years. 40 years. He lived a lifetime. Then revelation came through him, through the angel Jabir. So he had to prove himself. Just like you, just like me, just like all of us. We have to prove ourselves who we are. And he was very humble. He was kind to people. He didn't get in no rumble. See, when you got a lot of fans and you're on TV and you're doing great things, you'll be arrogant. Now, there are some things he did I don't accept. But we're not talking about that tonight. We're talking about why would anyone want to attack him and why do most white folks from the European country says get over it. And I'm quite sure someone died in their family. Are you sending a message over there, get over it? But this just shows you. Muhammad Ali, I reiterate, Muhammad Ali, the great Muhammad Ali, walked up to a very powerful man. And that very powerful man was talking, and he walked over to him, and he said, hey, you're still a nigger. And brother said, what did you say? You're still a nigger. Oh, Ali, don't say that. Don't call me a nigger. You're still a nigger. And that was Ms. Louis Farrakhan. And Ms. Louis Farrakhan told the story and came back and said, he's right. As powerful as I am and all the good I've done, you're still a nigger. All what Kobe has done at 41 years old, anybody would want their son to grow up to do that. He's still a nigger. So that's why they talking bad about him. That's why that lady wrote that article. And the reason being, brothers and sisters, you know all the basketball players, how many is it? The 10,000 of them? What about the players that come through college? Is it 100,000 of them? Well, if you want to really put a number on it, is it 1 million of them? Why did 1 million people write a letter to the Times and say, how dare you? And for that, we are not ever going to pick up the Times. I guarantee you, brothers and sisters, that forget the ones that came through grammar school, the ones that came through high school, the ones that's right now in college. How many NBA wrote a letter? Do your research. How many NBA wrote a letter? I'm going to tell you why it's not going to be written. Let's look at it, because we're going to break it down to just 3/3. Now, let's break it down to 4/4. The first quarter is not going to do it because they don't like them. The second quarter is not going to do it because they're envious and jealous. The third quarter is not going to do it because they're afraid that they're not going to be able to stand up against the powers to be. And that fourth quarter, afraid they may get rid of them. So that's how they rule. They give you what you want. And they threaten you with what you like. And this is why everybody's hush hush. I want to say this to you. See, I've been in that line of business. The great Jim Brown came to me. Oh, I have to say, I come to his home too. But I love him, he loves me. The great Magic Johnson came to me. I never went to Magic Johnson other than his place of business. And I love Magic Johnson. Magic Johnson loved me. Shaq O'Neal's mother and father came to me. I didn't even know who the hell Shaq O'Neal was. But when the mother and father, very tall couple, convinced me who their son was, I didn't believe I can give him my undivided attention. I didn't turn him down. I just said to them, take your son, give it to someone that really knows the business, but don't give him away. Learn the business and let it be a family business if he's that great. And he is. Great, great basketball player. Michael Jordan, I happen to visit his owner, Phil Knight. And then I met Michael Jordan when Phil Knight wanted me to help him. So Michael comes to my fights. Michael sits next to me. Me and Michael became very close. I don't bother him. I don't bother him. I don't bother anybody. But Michael Jordan called me and said, Ron, can you come to my fight? I'll be right there. LeBron James. I know of him. I don't know him. I know of him, but I'm very proud of him. I'm very proud. He wants to eat right, breathe right. I mean, he's a hard worker. And the reason he comes to my mind, because if I had negotiated for him, he'd be a multi-billionaire today. Well, I'd say it right here on Blog Talk Radio, New Alpha, Esther, Enterprise, but I see. How could you make him more money? Because you can't give me something that I know is great. So when they gave him $100 million, that's a lot of money to any man that just come out from the sake of the word in the city. But how can I make more for him? Keep your money, Mr. Nike, Phil Knight, keep it. You want my athlete, partner? We're partners. I don't need your money. But give me a percentage of my company called Bron James, and we can make a deal. I'm going to give you $100 million. You keep your $100 million. I make money playing basketball. But you have to believe in yourself, because that $100 million, if you don't end up being a Bron James, if you don't believe in yourself, then you sell out. And that's what he did. Now, I don't know who all benefits, but if, in fact, I would have signed that agreement as a partner, not of Nike, with all Nike, we branded that name Bron James. And Nike is a partner, just like Walt Disney and ABC. Oh, I study Walt Disney. I love Walt Disney. Walt Disney ain't had zip, but he believed in himself. He spent all his money, but he got with ABC, and today, as a partnership, the Disney family is multi-billionaires. And they're in the business of making men, women, and children in all walks of life from all ages to come and have fun. And he's still evolving, and they still build it. And he's deceased, but look what his family left behind. We don't think like that. Just so happens I'm gifted. I have ability to take that which is insignificant, magnify it to be significant, and I sell it to the world. That's what I do. But the point is that I respect Kobe. I respect him. Ryan's a great individual, even though he made a mistake between him and his Lord. He took care of his children, took care of his family. Between him and his Lord. But he'd come out on that basketball court and he was all that you would want a person to be. He wasn't arrogant. He was humble. He went and visited his charity. And he was getting ready to do some big things like his own record company. And I'm telling you, I'm not saying for Dr. King, I'm saying it once. Dr. King said, if we all come together, to love one another, they are not going to allow you to grow in this country. Everybody else can grow, but we can't have this. And so you shouldn't let nobody attack those who are gone and you can't touch them anymore. So I'm going to tell you a story. Now, I believe that he doesn't mind. Me and Ms. Farrakhan, he's my oldest brother. He's my oldest brother, but if I really thought about it, he'd be old enough to be my father. However, we are very close, always been. People thought that we wasn't because he was with the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. He still pushes, and I'm waiting, man, I want to see Muhammad. What you all don't know, I ain't never left the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. I don't know what you're talking about. I've sat with Caucasians and showed them how we respect the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, because what he did for the lost and found, those who were downtrodden, didn't have nothing. He brought us up. Why we called the white man the devil? Because he was smart. He was too unintelligent to know if he was Satan. We don't know about no Satan. But we all know what the devil is. Nobody want to be a part of the devil. I don't care how unintelligent you are. So he said that they was devils. Was all of them devils? He had time to teach us which one was and which one was. Call them all devils. But what did he do? He changed our inferior complex. He changed us as if we 3/5 of a human being. Our brothers and sisters, he changed us to make us the Asiatic black man, the maker, the owner, the cream of the planet Earth, God of the universe. God of the universe. Boy, did we stand up in the inner city that y'all refer to as the ghetto. We thought we were superior and the white man was inferior. But before he passed away, he said, okay, you came through kindergarten. That's my words. But that's what he's saying. He's saying, treat your brother like he treats you. And your enemy is the one that treats you like you're not his brother. That's your enemy. And that comes in all walks of life. So stop these colors. Wow. I was sitting front rostrum, 27 Sundays in a row, doing 3 hours at a time. I heard it, and it got me. Now, the reason why it didn't blow my mind, that my grandmother is white. My grandmother is a Jew. My father come out of that womb, but he referred to me as a Jew. I mean, he had a black man to make an owner, the cream of the planet Earth, God of the universe. And back then, black was so in that the black man was walking with his chest out because he was black. My oldest brother is black, like my mama is black. Shucks. I felt I was black. And to my daughter, got a certain age, and she said, Daddy, introduced everyone in college, that's my father. They said, that white man, that's not your father. Because my daughter's black, I prayed for her. I literally prayed for her because my children came out almost like me. So I said, oh, Allah, bless me with a black baby like her black mama. I prayed. I wanted a black like her mother, and I wanted her to be a girl. Because I had all these boys, all these boys, boy, boy, boy. We dominate. It may take 20% of my whole family. My mother had 16 or 15 children because she was the 16th. But we dominate. The men dominate. We can make boy, 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 boy. But I wanted that girl. I wanted that girl. And she came out as a black child. So I always thought I was black. I never looked at myself as being light-skinned or any other color. So my daughter comes home and she says, Daddy, they don't believe that I'm your daughter. Well, what do you mean they don't believe? They said that that's a white man. I said, good job. I'm not white. What are they talking about? She said, Daddy, you are light-skinned. And that's the first time I ever heard somebody tell me I was light-skinned. See how the mind is. So now that Muhammad made us proud to be black. James Brown, I'm going to quote him because James Brown sung my national anthem for my first TV show that I brought to the world. It's called HBO Live from Rahway State Prison, Murad Muhammad produced. Yes, James Brown told me that if it wasn't for the Amalaz Muhammad, he would never have sung that song. He said, I got it from him. I'm proud to be black. I'm black and proud. So the Amalaz Muhammad made us love our skin, made us love our color, made us love that we wasn't inferior. But then, after teaching us for over 40 years, he said, your brother is your brother. And let me tell you why I have to honestly say he's 100% correct, because, you know, thought travels at 25,000 miles per second. So my mind was thinking, Lord, was I thinking? And so let me give you the idea of why it's all humanity. Every human being comes from Eve. And who planted the seed? Adam. So we're all the children of Adam. So we brothers and sisters, whether we like it or not. Now, we all got different mentalities. Different ideas, different things you like to do that I may not like to do, and vice versa. But let me say this to you. There's a knock on the door. I peek through the peephole. I see this white man. The first thing comes to my mind, that's a devil. May I help you? I'm looking for Murad. He's not here. Well, when will he be back? About a week. Well, tell him Goldstein is looking for him. I said, no problem. I want to open that door. Why? I don't trust white folks. And then there's another knock on the door. Who is it? Look through the people. This is Rahman Kareem Abdullah Sharif Hassan. Oh, my brother. I opens the door. I turn my back because my brother locked the door. He stabs. And I said, that's it. It's the one that looks like you, walk like you, talk like you. It's a worse enemy than the one you will put in check as soon as they come in your presence. But I'm not smart. He knew it was going to happen because under likes attract and a like repel. So all these informers, you looking for a white man. No. They come in there with suits and ties, with sheets on and headpiece, and they call themselves imams, and they walk amongst us. Now, if I'm upset about that, hell no. Because America wants to make sure this country is safe. And so why send a white man in there? You ain't going to ever trust him, so you send one like us. All these pimps, and you wonder why they still pimping, because they informers. All these dope dealers, but they don't touch the money. The little boys get the jail time. Where's the real dope dealer? Ah, he's an informer. Where's these imams that can't produce nothing? They just talk. Nothing happens. Nothing gets built. They don't even come together. Because why? They get paid. It's simple. So when I go amongst the Caucasians and they know how I think, oh, my Jewish brothers love me. I got rabbis that love me. I go around the Caucasian men that's in Christianity and they got churches, a cardinal, they break bread with me. I can go by the Caucasian officers and they have great love for me. I can go around my Italian boys who want to always break bread and they have a love for me. I got a love for them. My Irish people, I can be on this radio for another 5 days and tell you what the Irishmen have done for me and what my Jewish brothers have done for me. But I come home, you can't tell. You come home and they're jealous, they're envious. You come home, they won't even mention your name. You come home, they don't even want to talk to you. My radio went viral 3 times. 3 times. But if I had to do a survey, see, I lost some merciful, you don't know who all turned on because you can't count their homes. You can't count who is on the phone. However, I believe that out of those millions of people that tune in on me, you can count on 10 hands how many is of your family or your cousins or your uncles or your friends or who you grew up with. It's not going to care. They don't care. But Islam allows you to evolve. So I can go into the rabbi calls me late at night because he teaches. The rabbi goes to Israel, but he'll call me and talk to me. My Christian brother, the reverend, got great relationship with him. And we'll sit down. We talk revelation. They like that. And then we do things together. But you can't do that with the people you grew up calling themselves imam. And you know what disturbs me? There's a word in the Quran called sister. S-I-F-Q. And that word, sister, no, F-I-S-Q, I'm sorry. That word, sister, in the Holy Quran, it means that if someone talks about you, brother, sister, then you're supposed to protect that individual. Excuse me. You can't say that about that imam. That imam such, 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 such. That imam such, 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 such. Because why? I have to protect my brother. But if I become a sister, then what happens? I'm cute. I'm charged with, according to Allah, that yes, they might be talking about him, but you agree with it because you didn't protect them. Now, that's just one word in the Quran, but it's a powerful word to allow you to see something wrong with this picture. However, but when you go talk to the brother, you find out they're correct. Now you got a problem yourself with that brother. But let me show you why that is taught to us in a different way when we're coming up. It says, if you see your brother in a fight, you know, like Muhammad said, you jump in. You ask no questions. You jump in that fight. But then when it's all over, you get him home and say, hey, man, what happened? And you found he's wrong, now you get him. But he said, don't ask no questions. Professor is saying, if a brother does not protect your honor, they call it backbiting. Shucks. That you knew what they be saying around here when you ain't around. They're hypocritical. They're not hypocrites because they're not intelligent enough to be a hypocrite. That's how I see it. They're not that intelligent, so they're going to be hypocritical. So this black and white stuff goes out the window when you learn that Quran. Allah says there's no black over white, no white over black. There's no Arab over non-Arab. There's no non-Arab over Arab. There's not one prophet over top of the next prophet. Isn't that amazing? So you out there in radio land think we don't like Jesus. And we don't like Moses. And we don't like Abraham. We don't like Lot. How about Noah? How about Joseph? Well, we don't like these prophets? Well, Allah put that to rest. There's not one prophet over top of another prophet. So you cannot judge them. Now, why is Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is more known around the world, more so than any prophet? Why? Because he's the seer. When you shoot him, you're shooting Jesus. When you shoot him, you're shooting Abraham. This is why. Now, in the sense of the word of a religion that no one was teaching, no one brought it here, no one can take credit for it. How did it grow so strongly around the world? And today they're trying to stop it. They plot and plan God, plans God's the best of plans. Now they're in China putting Muslim women, making them have sex with their men so they can't produce no more Muslim children. You can't even say Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar, but yet there's a disease over there. That's what Allah does. You don't bring in no army or no navy or no marine or no air force. It's the air. It's the snow. It's the earthquakes. All right? All these different things you think that happen, lightning, floods. Allah sends you a sign. The earth listens to me, Allah says. It don't listen to you. It listens to me. So his death, Kobe's death, is to tell you, You don't know when you're going to die. But thus far, if we had to judge him, we don't have no real thing to send him to hell. And we human. Why? Because this man was an honorable guy and he did the right thing. Again, we all make mistakes for whatever reason, but that's between you and Allah. But 51% you make it into heaven. So Kobe made it to heaven, but now there's seven levels. I tell everybody, that's what I do. I try my best to be what Allah wants me to be, and that is obedient to him. That's all he wants. I don't care if you're blind. I don't care if you're crippled. I don't care if you're laying in the bed. Allah said, I created you for one thing, to be obedient to me. And if you're obedient, you're going to make it. But if you're not, you're going to pay the price. Well, that's what Satan's job here is, to show you and trick you and deceive you and allow you to do what? Allow you to not be able to make it to Jannah. That's his job. And so I'm going to talk about some things that I believe should wake us up. And as the saying, we should wake up and fly right. That's so true. Wake up and fly right. But for some reason, something is going on. So I want to learn more about Kobe. I think he's done such a wonderful job. He speaks about six different languages. He was very educated. I thank his parents for that. And he came from overseas and came here. I mean, not that he lived over here, lived there, but he can speak those languages. He's a very intelligent young man. And so he would definitely be missed. But the good thing about it, it was time. It was time for him to send a message to you and I that you will be thankful that you're 70, you're 75, you're 80. He didn't make it there, but you did. But our youngsters think that they're here forever. But God says, work in this world as if there's no ending, but do not neglect the hereafter, meaning a plane can go down, meaning a train can go off the track, meaning a truck can jump the van over to the other side, and you're gone. I heard a female say, a Caucasian, she said, "Oh God, bring my husband back. I want to know, is he okay?" And that was the 9/11. And then she talked about the things that she aggravated him with, picking up his clothing, not throwing them anywhere, washing dishes, take out the garbage. She said, "Oh God, I would do all those things, and if you would send him back, I wouldn't bother him no more if you would send him back." That was a good prayer, but he never came back. You know what you got. You don't know what you're going to get, brothers and sisters, but we play Russian roulette with our lives. And most men lose women because they want to rule you. And that's something. You want to rule a man. You rule your babies. You don't rule a man. Hell, who's going to protect you? You rule him. But this is the thing today. And they want to make you think it's normal. It's not normal. And the whole world laughing at you. And we got girls that grow up, and I had a little niece that she didn't think that she would ever want a man. So what do you like? Like a female. Well, you can't make that choice. You're only 14 years old. Well, that was her choice. But today she got two beautiful children. She grew out of it. Guess she can't. But you can be whatever you want. That's why Satan don't like us. You can choose whatever you want. And you can condone what you think is real. It's not real. It's not real. A lot of us make no mistakes. Is the F chromosome or Y? There's no in between. But can you change your physical body? No. I don't care what kind of operation you have. You can't produce no babies, man. And you can't produce that seed, woman. So you'll never, ever become what you chose to be. And if that's what you want to be, it's okay. So let me say this to you imams out there. We do not have to push religion on anyone. Why? Because Allah blessed us, man. And he'll bless them if they come, if he chooses to. So when you start pushing your religion on people, Allah frowns upon that because there's no compulsory in Islam. So I say the same thing when a woman want to be a man and a man want to be a woman. Why would you want to push that on somebody? If that's what you want to be it. But they want to teach it, they want to flaunt it, they want to adopt children and raise them like that. That's when the curse comes in. Because what you want to do against yourself is your business. Now, I want to thank a whole lot of them. I was never prejudiced. That's your, I don't walk with you in your private life, but I had a lot of them. And they knew I knew. But I didn't put them to work because of their sexual pressure. They were very intelligent. They can do things a lot of people cannot do. They're gifted. I remember when I was having my place, remodeling, I said to him, "What color rug you going to put down on my floor?" He said, "Whatever color you want." "I don't know. I like a color, but it ain't masculine." He said, "What do you mean?" "I want all white." He said, "You can put all pink if that's what you want." He said, "You put what you want." I said, "You're right. What I'm talking about. Put that white down." "Well, the reason I wanted the white was you can see dirt quick. And you can't have babies crawling around the floor and they come in with your shoes on. Take your shoes off. Leave that tobacco that's under your, stuck on your bottom of your shoes. And my baby got to walk. No, you got to take them off." Then I didn't trust the socks they were wearing. So I had slippers. Clean your slippers, you can walk in my house. Yeah, the plumber come in, you got to take them off. Now, I would give him a tip because, you know, you come somewhere, you don't want to take it off. Then I got smart. When I had come, I'd take a runway plastic and run it down. You walk on that. But you're not stepping on my rugs. One, you pray on the rugs, and two, the baby's crawl. So I like white. White this, white that. White underclothes, white shirts. That was me. Cars are white. Because I want to see it right away. And that's who I was, and that's what I wanted to be. Cleanness is next to godliness. That's what I was taught. I remember I said, hey, I need my wife to learn this in Hollywood. That will cost you $50,000 here. You get a homosexual, that man is the baddest I ever found. If you want to learn, that's who you talk to. Oh, I love that kind of thing. Yes, and sometimes it happens right in your family. Well, I give them credit because it's all in the network. I never get that. They used to say, I like when you call. Get back to me, your friend and your brother. Oh, wow, that sounds so good. We like that. I like that you say that. That's who I am. Be a person the way you want me to. So hopefully that y'all never forget this great star, Kobe Bryant, and let's support him. And now that you don't know anybody saying anything bad about him that shouldn't be said right now, you pick up a pen. Put it in an envelope. Don't tweet it. Don't send a fax. It don't mean nothing. Send a million letters. You have to deliver. The hell no, we ain't taking this no more. I was going to tell you a story. We're getting to you about Nelson Rosebeck. They called him in. He had a beautiful dinner, beautiful home. But the guy kept calling him rude. They were trying to tell him, you know, minister could be bold, aggressive, he's a fighter. He was raised by the Amalek on it. He's a humble man. He knows he's good. The guy kept calling him rude. They didn't want to say rude. They didn't want to say Farrakhan. But to make a long story short, he wanted to go downstairs and talk to him. He said, Louis, we're going to make you lost. We're going to make you a mortal human being when you're dead. We're going to give you all this publicity so you can talk to the people. And he said, well, what do I have to do for that? He said, you have to do what we tell you to do. Now, brothers and sisters, why I'm telling this story? Because that's Minister Louis Farrakhan. On a very high level, that got tens of thousands of millions of brothers. His army is very strong. And you telling him what you want him to say, he said, I can't do it. He said, well, if you don't do it, we're going to cut you off. You will never get no publicity. How many people took that deal? I don't want to embarrass nobody, but just think about it. How many people took that deal? I spoke, yes, on behalf of Dr. King last night. And I said, y'all not doing what Dr. King said. You're not doing it. And I broke down some of the things he had said. Well, I'm bold enough to say that because they're not doing what Muhammad the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said right here in America. And that's why we can't grow. Because we're all split up in tribes. But yet, individually, we got nothing. And collectively, we're not doing anything. So it's happening all over. Something's wrong. So they don't want to give you the public relation with Ms. Louis Farrakhan because he's bold enough to tell you the truth. He knows this religion. He got Christians that love him. And there are some Islamic brothers that don't like him. It is always the broke one, the one that can't do nothing, can't produce nothing, run around looking for what woman can take care of. But yet they don't like Minister Louis Farrakhan. But the man is raising our children. That's why I love him. Can't tell me who to love or who not to love. So I taught them why the Honorable Elijah Muhammad played the same trick they played on us, that we were three-fifths of a human being, and we had to be a slave to them. He flipped that script. Now he said, go for yourself. One after me would teach you your religion. But you're free now. and some of us went back. And it's not the ones that was really the soldiers. It's the weak ones. The weak ones I'm talking about went back to wannabe. Wannabe something in that. Now, I met some brothers that used to follow my life. My mother is a good preacher and got more on the ball than those who stayed in his email. But he followed what my leader said. I'm a student of Imam Waterstein Muhammad. And he said distinctly, I quote, don't play with this religion. You'll be better off to go back to Christianity. And that brother went back. You'll make it, because he said that in the Quran. Be a good Jew. Be a good Christian. Be a good savage. But believe in one God in the hereafter, and Allah will have no burden on you. And I thought that last night. I said to them, Jesus says, don't go through the same door. Jesus says, when you go to the city, take a different route. But y'all don't know what that means. Y'all read this stuff, but you don't comprehend it. What door is Jesus talking about? He is saying to you that God is saying, there's the doors of the Christians. There's the doors of the Jews. There's the doors of the Jehovah's Witness. There's the doors of Seventh Adventist. There's a door for this religion. There's a door for that religion. There's a door for Islam. Are we all going through different doors to get to our agenda, to heaven, to paradise? We don't go through the same door, because Allah said, be it is, all of us will be in Islam. But what we all are, Islam. So you're telling me that my daughter's black, but she ain't my daughter? You're telling me my son is light-skinned, but he's not my son? Ain't got nothing to do with color. You're telling me if my daughter chose another religion, she ain't my daughter? She'll always be your daughter. So how is it that you're going to change different nationality, change different way of life, change your whole agenda, and being a man knowing you're a woman, being a woman knowing you're a man? God is in charge. He's in charge, not us. And you have all these things so you can make your choice. You can choose whatever you like. Allah made us free, and we can make a decision. The angels got a job. They got to do things what Allah says. We human beings, we got a responsibility. We make our own decision. And Allah accepted. Now, if it's wrong, he accepted. But he gave you permission. But wrong is called temporary heaven for permanent hell. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. Rabbil Alameen. So with Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, the praise and the thanks is for God. And we thank him for the gift and the blessings of the mortal human person, Muhammad, the honorable and noble servant of messenger of God, the messenger of God, Muhammad Ibn Abdullah, the son of Abdullah. And we follow that with the salute and the translation of that salutation to the last prophet. Peace and blessing of Allah be upon the prophet and his sinners and his companion. The seal of the prophet that is mentioned in the Injil of the Bible, the gospel, as is given to us in the Holy Quran. Surely Allah Almighty speaks the truth. We say, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, wa sa'asa wa salam wa sa'asu'ili kareem, wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, brothers and sisters, tonight I want to speak about, I talked about Kobe, and I probably will do it again on Saturday. I probably will do it again on Monday and Tuesday, because I learned more about him that I can say that he was a wonderful individual, and there's no real scandals on him. And may Allah be pleased with his family, and except there's no ugly in life, and there's no ugly in death. Only Allah can give life, not man. We make whoopee, but we don't make babies. And only Allah can remove you from here, not man. So there's no ugly in the will of God. You got to understand that we hate to see people go, but there's a better world than here. And when you leave this world, you don't have to suffer no more. Now, if you commit suicide, it's going to stop you from getting in the Jannah, because committing suicide is a sin. But Allah says you have to go through that trial and error. You can't duck it. Allah said, I judge those, I tried those before you. Who are you not to be tried? So you can be rich, you can be poor, you can be healthy, you can be sick. Who are you not to be tried? Allah will try you. And if you pass that test, you'll never have to worry about no sickness again. You won't even remember none of this ugly of this world. It's up off. So Al-Islam, that's what I want to talk about, because we don't really know what is Al-Islam. It only means the religion. You may hear me say Islam sometimes, but I like to make you understand if you refer to Al-Islam, the religion. Islam is a religion. This is our inheritance. Al-Islam. Al-Islam is our natural heritage. The history confirmed that, because we was brought over here as Muslims and put into slavery. Yes, we were. We was tricked. How was we tricked? And because in the Quran, and they was reading, our ancestors reading the Quran says Allah's earth is spacious. And when you told them they could come over here and get gold and get silver and they can have a new way of life over here, they weren't fearful. They was talking into it. But what happened? We were put on the auction block. And some of us wore the Islamic turban. Yeah, on their heads. They wore. So that proves that we came over here as Muslims, most of us. And a great deal of us. Many of us are Muslims, and we adopted our inheritance. Many of us do not want to be lost, because we lost it. But many of us don't want to be lost. You don't want to lose it. You want to turn back to it, turn back to your original self. Some of us did. Some of us did not. So they don't put Christians into slavery. And it wasn't Muslims that sold Muslims into slavery. And when we say Muslim, you know, the first thing comes to your mind is Al-Islam. But I've taught on this radio for over 6 years that Muslim is the nature of the human being. So you're Muslim by nature. Only means that your nature submits to the will of God. But you lost that. You burned it out of us for 400 years. So we want to return back to our original self. Every human being is born a Muslim in Al-Islam. Every human being. They're not some of them. Yeah, the Ku Klux Klan before they became the Ku Klux Klan. Before they became, what do you call them? In here. White supremacy. Didn't exist when Adam and Eve came about. It was all Muslims in our nature. So you should tell them what is Al-Islam. We don't tell them. Because Islam is my nature. Yes, Al-Islam is your nature. It's your nature to be a Muslim. It's your nature to submit to the will of God. So Islam is my rightful rights. Yes. Islam is my inheritance. You're inheriting the way that God has given to us as being upright Muslims. That makes sense to me. I don't know about you. I guarantee you that making that type of statement and be able to instill it into others is not teaching them. So what's your intentions? Is to carry yourself in an upright manner. That establishes the individual, the sensitivity to want to know more about you. And to all of you educating brothers, I'm talking about those who seem to have not a clue. Because the educators, they would come. Because Einstein, you look at it, Einstein and all of the educators, they've got this. They know the difference. But, brother, that says to those who are locked up, and they're locked up, they're in jail. They can't go nowhere, but when they hear Al-Islam, oh, my God, do they come. Look at Malcolm, a whole lot of them, right now today, except Al-Islam. So some people, for whatever reason, we got some people that refer to me as a religious man. I like it. But what is a religious man? A religious man don't mean the same thing in Christianity. So, in other religions, especially Christianity, it is not the American, the African American, and the black man, the Christians. Not their style. We don't talk about it, but it's not their style. They don't understand that line of talking about you being a religious man because they don't know what religious means. And here on Block Talk Radio in Arabica, I have to explain it. The religious man is like Muhammad, the motto of all Muslims, all mankind. The religion of Islam is recorded. It's recorded. Recorded through the scriptures of what is a man of religion. Yes, I believe I'm a man of religion because it wasn't for my religion. I do a lot of things, brothers and sisters, that I ain't supposed to do. But Muhammad was a businessman before he was a prophet. Muhammad was all around. All around at being a man. May the peace and blessing of Allah be upon him. He was seen sweeping the floor, helping his wife to clean up the house. He was seen to shop for his own food in the marketplace. That's what the prophet was known for. He was all around individual. Isn't that amazing? But they won't teach that. Now, I don't like doing dishes. But if I got to help my wife, I'm going to do dishes. If she's too tired, I'm going to do dishes. Now, I'm the kind of guy, if I got to clean, I'll clean the house. But I go through the strain. I remember one time being at my uncle's place, and me and my wife were laying in the bed, and I looked up in the ceiling, and I said, whoa, this place need to be painted. And I knew my uncle. I kept a clean place. He was 94 years old. I got up and I said, well, I'm going to paint. She's going to paint. I'll paint that whole window. Got my brother, Samad, and said, can you paint? He said, well, I don't know how to paint. I said, well, you just follow my rules. And we painted that whole house. That's what Muhammad the Prophet, prayers, peace upon him, would have done. So you help people. You go into a house and you see something wrong. I used to get stopped. What are you doing? I'm going to buy her a new refrigerator. What are you doing? I'm going to clean this place up. What are you doing? I'm going to put in this. I'm going to put in that. That's not even your family. Hey, Allah sees it. That's barakah. I want to help this one. I want to help that one. Yes, I took money to Caucasians and lost their husband in the line of duty. That's charity. The bulletproof vest, it wasn't no black state troopers. But they my brother. You put money in the victim program. You know what I mean? People didn't even know a victim program even exists. But the white folks did, but money was in there. If you look for it, you'd have found it. So that's what I've done. I've always given back. I talk about, and I said it, the guy who I was talking to, how much money did I got beat by my own fighters. It didn't bother me, but I had to be here. And you talk about a great deal of money. Great deal of money. You talk about the millions. Do Bob Arum owes me a million? Yep. Do Don King owes me a million? Yep. But they didn't care, but they got the answer for that. But the point was, I was trying to build a name, Muhammad. Praise, wordy, wordy, praise, so I could talk like this. And Allah would give me whatever he sees fit that I should have. It's one thing to come home to hell, but when you lock that door, you're in heaven. The wife makes you feel like you're in heaven. You don't have to worry about going out there with the wolves and the tigers and the lions or the bears. They're out there. And I'm getting so numb that I feel something heavy on me. It gets like that, like something's heavy on me. So I lay down. Wake up, it's gone. I don't know if it's all that I worry about, this one, that one, everybody, what I want to do in life. But I never ask Allah for me only. I want to help those. So I wasn't going to go to the show last night. But Dr. King, I was following Anwar Muhammad, but I always turned on Dr. King. I was listening to Malcolm, but I always turned on Dr. King. I was listening to Mary Farrakhan, I was talking about turning on Dr. King. Imam Walid Muhammad was a student of Imam Walid Muhammad. He taught me personally, I turned on Dr. King. Because something about that man, he could use that language to stimulate and motivate your soul. I told him that. I said, yes. He told his disciples to give his flock, his lamb, give them bread. I said, that's what the Italians say. Let's break bread because they want to get to know you. Give them fish. Well, the fish swims in the ocean, in the river. But also, fish means, are you swimming in knowledge? That's all that meant. Water is knowledge. And then when I talked about the water, but there wasn't any kind of water. It was still water. But I talked about the water. You got lead in water today, so that can't be the kind of water Jesus was talking about. But God bless him to turn it into wine, and that got him. But it's in the Quran. Give them wine, Allah says, but not a hangover. So I told him it doesn't mean man's wine. You start drinking because God said give them wine, and you took man's wine. No. Your sensitivity, your sensitivity stimulates you. That's your soul. That's your soul, brothers and sisters. And that is the spirit that God breathed into you. Came alive. Hey, you were shaking as a baby. Smack, you cried God's language. But that soul came to life because why that spirit? So the same way in knowledge. You hear that music, you dance, and you jumping because you're stimulated off of what? That wine. But not man's mind. The wine stimulates you. It takes you to another level. So Allah takes us to another level. So it wasn't physical. Y'all made it physical. But here on Blog Talk Radio, New Africa, X-Men, when I speak 7 days a week, 52 weeks out of the year, I'm going to teach you if you listen. You can't interrupt me. You can hang the phone up. But I go on until the angels say, quit. Sometimes I quit. Sometimes I go 2 hours. So just think about it. And Muhammad was a businessman. Before he was a prophet, Muhammad was all around man. Peace and blessing be upon him. But he was sent. He was seen sweeping the floor, helping his wife to clean up the house. He was seen shopping for his own food in the mall. Wow. Well, why would I want to be different? You ask yourself that, brother. When I'm trying to represent Muhammad the prophet, oh, Y'all don't know. Y'all don't know. It's right there in the Quran. If you follow the Holy Quran, you represent the prophet. That's his office. When we get up there and do Juma, that's his office. That's not your office. And that's the problem. You think it's you. It's not you. It's not you, brother Imam. If every Imam heard the sound of my voice this evening, Tuesday evening, if you heard the sound of my voice, you should keep in mind and realize that you represent Muhammad the Prophet. Prayers and peace be upon him. This is his office. You don't do it. You can't be what you think you are, and that's an egotistic maniac. That's not Muhammad the Prophet. So Tuesday, January the 28th, 2020, here on Block Talk Radio, New Africa Excellence for Live Speech, I am saying to you, you should realize that you represent the office of Prophet Muhammad, prayers and peace be upon him. So you got to understand, brothers and sisters, that if you have to take on that nature, and if I represent the prophet, and now that I'm an imam, I do. So we should try to be like him. That's what we should do. We should try to be like him. But if I am not, I should pray to Allah that I can represent him to the extent of my ability to become comfortable to sweep the floor, to become comfortable to go to the, they call it the market, today we call it supermarket. Isn't that amazing? The marketplace. So we go to the supermarket for our family. And if we can't follow him, and we reject his lifestyle and his common sense, we do not represent Muhammad the Prophet, prayers, peace upon him. And this is why we are not going to grow. Because we don't cut off everybody. We don't have nothing to build. Where's our restaurants? Well, hell, if we open up a conglomerate restaurant for everybody to come, we're making $1 million every 6 months. If we open up our own supermarket so we can have our halal and our organic foods and have the right people in place and make sure you ain't eating scrap. If we open up these various different entities around the country, and all those farmers as out of work, we put them back to work, and we have our tractor trailers on the road bringing in our food. Fish today, you have to be careful because the fish is garbage. But there are certain fish that's not. We should find where that place is because we brought fish in for the zoo. So we can bring fish in from all these foreign countries. Then why are we not out there doing that? Someone not doing it. Where's our conglomerate schools so our thousands of children can be in the same schools? Why we can't pay our teachers $100,000? And yet we can go to Peru when we wasn't under the Sunnah of Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and bring in fish. We can build our own factories and make our own clothes. By now, our clothes be on the market. But no, Caucasian is making your hijabs and making your dresses and you buying it. They sell us our fish. They sell us our chicken. They sell us our greens. They sell us our mashed potatoes, our sweet potatoes. They sell us our macaroni and cheese. Isn't that something? Isn't that something, you intelligent individual? And you won't buy from each other because you got a problem with each other. I believe it's a curse. It's a curse on every city that can't make any progress whatsoever. I'm not going to be a part of that curse. I go to humanity. And when I spoke yesterday, Eliel taped it. I'm glad he did, because I wouldn't have had it. But I was surrounded by Caucasians. Hey, we want to get with you. We want to sit with you. We want to talk to you. And then they had their little son, 30 years old. Said, can you train him to be like you? Isn't that something? I got sons don't even come to ask me to do that. See, it's not Allah works. Allah gives you what you can't. You be saying, whoa, this one not doing this one not doing that. I got very successful sons. But for some reason, and all that success, they not even together amongst themselves. The Latinos come over here and work for $6 an hour. And they work around the clock. And there'd be about 10 of them in one apartment. Then the next thing you know it, they got two apartments. Then the next thing you know it, they got an apartment bill. Then the next thing you know it, they got four apartment bills. Then the next thing you know it, they all bought their own homes. Then the next thing you know it, they all open up stores all over the place. And they're all in our neighborhood. That's how they start. But here's men that grew in middle class, went and got their education. Some of them make over $300,000 a year, but never did nothing collectively. And I'm going to tell you, well, I don't want to say that. You mothers, most of your mothers out there is a curse, because you will fight with your sons to stay away from their father. But one day you're not going to wake up. And now they out there alone. They don't have no father. Don't even know where their father is. Don't even know how to get to their father. And that's what Louis Lynch, whatever his name, Willie Lynch, he said it. He said, get them men out of the house and we'll rule those niggas for another 1,000 years. I'm sorry. I only talk to women that understand what life is about. This is a temporary world, brother, sister. And, bro, you ain't going with nobody that's stuck on stupid or someone that want to control you and tell you where to go, how to go. You're not a capital M-A-M. And some of the most powerful women that powerful man is in love with had to leave because why? You can't grow. You ain't stopping the growth of a capital M-A-M. And I'm every bit of that. And so you don't see it until you come down off your level. And these fools say, oh, what are you doing down there? Well, you must not have no money. Money comes and money goes. You can't take that with you. But your obedience to God, oh, my God, that can send you to 7 levels of heaven. And that's what I want to be. And so I'm not giving up on them. Because they're my family. The community of Imam Wallace Imam is my family. The community of Minister Little Farrakhan is my family. The community of the Jews is my family. The community of the Christians is my family. And I am going to be able, inshallah, is to make us move as one. So we can build our own schools and teach our own babies and stop telling people you can't come to school unless you take a flu shot. Might as well say they're killing you. They're killing your babies. And you wonder why your daughter has got brains, she can't think, she got headaches. How little baby got that? Well, you give them no needles, because the older ones, they dying anyway. So, hey, is this going to keep me alive? And they don't know they're killing themselves. Anything man gives you has no substance to it to keep you alive. I know we had at least in the last 2 weeks, and I'm not exaggerating, over 10 deaths. If I got to really put a number to it, over 25 people died. They're just dying. They just go into the hospital, they're dead. They go into the hospital, they're dead. They're either dead or they're brain damaged. Something's wrong. Something's wrong with this picture. But we don't give a damn. Then you have people that come around us and will utter the words of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, calling Elijah Pool, and then make a statement. And y'all accept it. I mean, it's crazy. This is crazy. There ain't no way in the world. No way in the world this should be happening. But Satan got us. I say us, because I live amongst them. But it's Allah. Allah bless me to be able to do the things that I want to do. And it seems like it all comes from that successful man. My Jewish brothers are successful. My Italian brothers are successful. My Irish brothers, they are successful. And most men coming from foreign countries, they are successful. Association brings about assimilation. I'm not going to associate with wannabes and people. Oh, I got one that just came over the internet. Here's a man arguing with why he should not honor children. You see, that's why I don't come around that. I don't come around. I'm too physical. See, I would hurt you verbally and encourage you to attack so I can leave my signature. Now, that's Satan. I've been working on that Satan. That Jim, he bothers me with that. But how the hell we left our babies behind and we won't go get them? Now, one time we used to talk about that, how the men and women leave the church, came to El Islam, how the children, how we took care of the children. Today, they leave in El Islam because they don't want to be like you. They don't want to dress like you. They ain't walking around like that. And you can forget that. You think it's clothes? Well, guess what? They don't want to be a part of it. But I don't hear no babies crying in the masjid. If it is, one or two, where are they? Because the women ain't sitting under that stupidity. And they don't get it. But yet, the reverend says, where the hell did they come from? Excuse me? They ain't doing nothing, bro. They ain't, you talk to one talking about the other one, one talking about it. I said, you got to understand. They're learning. They've never been in the army, but they're learning. When they close the door, I say, yeah, they're right. They're 100% right. But you can't even go and talk to them. But I want to give a shout-out to Masjid and do the Masjid Kamenia Hassan. Y'all did the right thing. I heard I'm in the papers with you all. I'm glad I called that. They all put their hands on top of my hand. The one at the bottom is holding everybody up. That's the foundation. The one on the top, we push him to be all he can be. And Solomon got it. And he's the imam. So it was in the paper, but it should be sent all around. This is what every imam, every ummah is supposed to do. You're supposed to come back and vote that Trump out of there. There's no such thing that, you know, the imam was here to call them a bunch of sissies. A bunch of sissies that rule it and dictate it. And nobody's voting but their own shore boy. That's not no shore boy. And if it is a shore boy do not pick the imam. It's a community. Now, allow me to say this to you. I'm going to give it to you all like this. Right here on Blog Talk Radio, New Africa, excellent, a lot of speech. I want to say this to you. Even in the Roman days, Pharaoh is in charge. Pharaoh is in charge. And the gladiators is a fight for him. That was the big thing. Everybody there watching a fight. But when that gladiator won, he had to look up at Pharaoh to see should he live or should he die. Pharaoh don't make that decision. He's Pharaoh. Pharaoh turns to the community and he takes his finger up and he takes, his thumb, points it up and he points his thumb down. Live or die. And if, in fact, that community puts the fingers down, die, 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 or they howl, kill, kill, kill. Or they put the finger up, live, live, live. And that warrior have to do what the community told him to do, not what Pharaoh said. Now, if that Roman man does not do what the community said, kill him, and he won't kill him, they kill him. That's back then with Pharaoh. Today, in the 21st century, in 2020, you got 12 men tell you all what to do for the last 30 years. There's no voting. Every 2 years you're supposed to vote, and they'll tell you you can't come vote. They even got a new one now. Oh, you never came to my masjid. Your masjid. And I just show you this is a post of Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. It ain't your master. You ain't never created nothing. But that's what they do, because they want to keep you separate. It's like the Aztecs and the Commodores and whoever else, the Red Hats. Oh, God, when we was young, you can't come in my territory, I can't come in your territory, I got to ask permission. Then you ask something. But that thumb is important, brothers and sisters. For we don't need no Mary Beads, Rosemary Beads. We don't need that. That's Christianity. So what do we stick of it? We dick it with our five fingers and for your five senses. But what do you use to dick it with? Your thumb. Allah Akbar. Your thumb. So what did the thumb do? Subhanallah. You recognize Allah. Alhamdulillah. You give praise to Allah. Allahu Akbar. You give the glory to Allah. With the thumb. 99 times. Isn't that amazing? But what is the thumb, brothers and sisters? The thumb is after you dicker to Allahu Akbar, which is the best conscience, you've got to make a decision. Your decision is if you're going to screw that girl, know that you shouldn't have it. Your decision is you're going to beat up on women and know you shouldn't. Your decision is you're going to send the money to the right place. Your decision is if you're going to get up and be obedient to God. You got a decision to make. Live or die. Alhamdulillah, I could talk about this all night, what those fingers means and what those lines means in your finger, but not tonight. Tonight was Kobe Bryant. But I also have to get in because this is an Islamic station. The difference with me, I'm not trying to teach you the language of the Quran in Arabic. I'm teaching you in your language. The Quran represents, there's nothing physical. From Fatiha to An-Nas, there's nothing physical. And what the Ijil represents is not physical. Well, man, what if Dean Muhammad says, I'm in paradise, says it all the time. I said, brother man, why do you keep saying you're in paradise? He said, because I learned all of revelation. Hey, don't fool me. He was a perfect example for us here on earth. And I followed him. And that's what I did. So he told me, go learn the words of the Quran and give it to them in your language. I said, you don't want me to give it to them in every base? That's showing off. The language is for you to get the pure understanding. Oh, wow. You mean I know what that blood turned that wine, that water into wine, and I know what that blood represents, and I know God said wine too, but the wine was not the wine that man created. I guarantee you, because Allah was here first, he said make wine red. And that's why the savages that came into the Trinity, they drink the wine, because to them that's Jesus' blood. They take a pill because they think that's Jesus' flesh. Isn't that amazing? Because before they came to Christianity, they were savages. They was eating raw meat, no cook, drinking the blood. So they had to give it to them psychologically, directly speaking, and they fell for it and handed it down to you all. So you're drunk. You'd be surprised the ones who got all the Holy Ghost that goes and lives in the churches, because why? They don't have no husband, because that's their husband. They think they're in love with Jesus, and that's their husband. And say, oh, Jesus, oh, Jesus. And they off their rocker, so they go and drink real wine. And they think that stimulus meant drink man's wine. No. Drink his knowledge. Drink that water. But don't drink nothing else but still water. I laugh and stop from crying. I thank you for listening to me. Well, if I say anything to hurt anyone, I apologize from the bottom of my heart. If I say anything incorrect, well, I'm human. I make mistakes. SubhanAllah. But I believe you got the point. But if I say anything to allow you to stand up in your spirit, stand up in your soul, stand up in your dream of Sitra, the nature in which you was created. If I gave you anything to allow you to come to your conscience, come to your obedience to God, your taqwa, don't give me that credit, brothers and sisters. I don't accept it. Give that credit to Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, glorify is his name. And I greet you from our father that no one talks about, Adam, our biological father, the first prophet, the first man on earth. And I greet you from our brother, but we call him father, Abraham, as they say Abraham. So Abraham is the father of the intellectual mind of the human being of all nations. Study him. And I greet you from our brother, Jesus Christ. Christ means Muslim. Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, I am in you, and you in me. The Father is in me, and the Father is in you. He's saying God is in him, and God is in you. I'm going to leave you, my mother, Jesus said. And you thought it was Mary. Mary's not coming back. You're a female. You're the mother. What about my mother? What about my children's mother? What about all your mothers that are listening to me? That's what he's saying. Because out of that womb, it's going to come one like Jesus through your father's work. Do you work for God? Do you got the patience of Job? Get rid of that E. Get rid of that vow. It's job. Allah says, in the Holy Quran, come ye, your worker. You got to be on the job to work. And I greet you to the seal of the prophet, and mercy to all mankind, Prophet Muhammad ibn Abdullah, the son of Abdullah. May the peace and blessings be upon him and his sinners and his companion. We salute him with the excellent salute. Prayers and peace be upon the prophet. We say, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And I greet you from the Arabic words of the Holy Quran, Arabia, words of the Quran. As-salamu alaykum. I'm Imam Rod Muhammad. I'm your, was your guest tonight. And tune in tomorrow, Wednesday, Imam Eli Obey. He will teach the tafsir of Imam Wallace D. Muhammad. And you will get it direct. And our sister is back. We welcome back Michelle Muhammad. And she teaches how to eat to live. And then Imam Eli Obey returns, inshallah, on Thursday, 7th, and then come in the great-grandson of Booker T. Washington. He comes on for 2 hours on Friday, 7 to 9. And then Sunday, our sister, Dr. O, who's back from Egypt, and Layla sent her niece, there's three of them, to paradise, separated false from the goodness as I'll separate the east from the west and grant them gender. Peace be unto you. Thank you for listening.